There is one creature remembered in the legends of almost every human culture that's ever existed. A creature depicted with remarkable similarity by the Chinese, the Aztecs, even the Inuits who live in a frozen land where no reptiles are found. Even they have stories of this animal. The Bleakhorn Unidragon. Stay with us as we travel through time in distant lands in search of this creature and others like the mermaid, the Sasquatch, the Chupacabra, and also the largest mythic ale creature ever spoken of in ancient lore, Dogzilla.
Let's crack it.
Some of my favorite beers have some earthy stank stuck on.
As long as it's not a metallic any longer.
Blah, 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 I want my beer, damn it!
Beer Coaster Podcast. It's for your learning.
Hello, and welcome to the Beer Coasters Podcast. 2013. I don't know why this hasn't been changed yet. 2013, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best and worst in mostly American craft beer from coast to coast. And every once in a while, including this week in
again?
Between.
What? What? Is this 2 weeks in a row?
2 weeks in a row.
Oh. Crazy, man. Crazy.
Hello, everybody. I'm your host this week. This is Toby in Las Vegas, Nevada. And joining me is...
This is Chris in Dallas, Texas.
Wow. I'm Crazy Dave from Temecula, California.
See, Chris? See why I said that?
And Radlow from the beautiful Pacific Coast.
See, I would make some sort of noise for Dave, but I can't quite figure out what kind of noise meth makes.
It's the same noise that awesome makes.
Yeah, okay.
Meth sounds awesome.
You know what it is? You know why you can't make the noise? It's because it's like the voice of God. If you hear it,
you'll
die.
Just in case any of our listeners are wondering, this is Mike from Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm also on the show.
All right. So we have a newcomer this week. We've got Mark Ratlow from... Where are you? In La Jolla?
Bird Rock.
Bird Rock. Right. Almost.
Bird.
Technically, it's the city of San Diego still.
The city of San Diego.
So this week is our Mythic Ale Creatures show. We've got some crazy creatures that you might see when you drink these.
All right.
Yeah, especially if you have enough of them.
Yeah.
Right. Our fermentation conversation is the good old clown shoes, and it's their Bleakhorn Unidragon. And we have tasting flight beers as well.
For my tasting flight this week, I'm going to be drinking the Laughing Dog Dogzilla Black IPA.
Dogzilla.
What about you, Dave?
Well, seeing as how I'm
Dogzilla.
The Latin flavor of the group.
The Latin flavor, you know, the token Mexican or whatever. I'm going to be drinking the Cucupaz Chupacabra.
That token.
No, but
how do you say token in Spanish?
Token?
Token O?
That sounds right.
I'm going to be trying Coney Island's Mermaid Pilsner.
All right. And Mark, what are you sipping on?
You know, I like to keep the holiday spirit going well into the new
year.
Just
like Chris.
So I'm enjoying, like Chris with his tree.
Chris still has his Christmas tree up in his living room, by the way.
That's right.
More power to you, Chris. I appreciate
that. It's so hard to
let go. I'm drinking Sam Adams Holiday Porter.
All right. So what do you say, guys? Should we crack open this Bleakhorn Unidragon?
Well, you guys can. I won't be drinking it. We can't get these clown shoes beers out here in California yet. So Mark's going to be drinking on his holiday porter, and I'm going to be sipping on a Lucky Bastard while you guys are
sucks to be
thing.
You. I still want to drink.
This is a fermentation conversation.
This beer is from Clown Shoes, Brewing out of Ipswich, Massachusetts. They are brewed and bottled under contract by Mercury Brewing. This is their Blakehorn Unidragon, which is a Russian Imperial Stout. You can find more information about this beer, if we don't give any to you, or other beers from Clown Shoes, at clownshoesbeer.com. This comes in at a whopping 12.50% ABV. Let's crack it.
Hey, so I got a question. So this is brewed and bottled under by contract under Mercury. What else does Mercury put out?
Liquid metal?
They have a few... Jeez, that's a good question. Because it's not really that.
I mean, it was like a science nerd joke or something.
It's I mean, they're the Ipswich Ale guys, Mercury Brewing, but there's other breweries that, you know, that they brew for. But
what's weird about
those are
that
all
is
separate
I don't
companies.
See. I don't see Ipswich out here at all, but I see tons of Clown Shoes.
Hmm.
So something tells me that they're brewing a lot more Clown Shoes than they are their own.
They brew and bottle the brash beers too. You know, like Flight of the Pimp and all those beers.
Flight of the Pimp.
Yeah, I had the Pimp one. That one's good. Gina really liked that one. Yeah, it's funny. I was getting Clown Shoes here before I started getting Ipswich. Mm. And now I have very little Ipswich, but I do have it.
There's Notch. There's another brewery. So they put out a lot of different session beers. There's quite a few. They're getting bigger and bigger.
So are they like a consortium of craft breweries? I mean, is that what they're doing, or?
Well, yes and no. I mean, their brewery is much bigger than it used to be. So they've been taking on different contracts to.
So it's
they're
contract brewing
people.
Then.
What's that?
So they're contract brewing.
Yeah,
then.
It's all contract brews. Okay. Yeah.
Are they out of Mass?
Yeah, they're out of Ipswich, Massachusetts.
Yeah, all right.
So upon pour, it is very dark, black. Yeah. I think there's some very light brown highlights, but very little.
I got about a pinky finger of head. I had about a Yeti finger, but it dissipated.
Yeah, I had about a human finger.
Yeah, same here.
And it's down to about a pinky. Nice foamy, creamy looking head.
Yeah.
To a brown head.
Yeah, it's like it looks light like a brown. Root beer head, but it's kind of darker.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Very thick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thick headed.
On the nose.
Ooh.
A little bit of like burnt chocolate.
You know what I'm getting? I'm getting kind of a like metallic thing going.
Yeah.
Really?
There's
it might not be good, Chris.
Man, you might have a
skunked beer.
No, it's
you're
not
getting clowned.
Like, no,
you're
I
getting
can tell.
Clowned. Maybe it's Mercury.
There's get some roastiness on the nose. Maybe some like espresso.
Can someone hold up the coffee. Bottle so I can see what this beer looks like? Oh, so it's that one. Oh, I like it. All right.
They got a pretty demonic looking creature on the front of this thing.
They
underneath,
sure do.
Like this. It looks like this exploding sun or a falling meteor or something.
So, like, how did you guys.
It's a unicorn with a dragon body.
Well, I don't know. I can't see. It's over the low resolution so camera.
It's a
unicorn that you got
unidragon.
Off your laptop.
How did you guys come about this brewery?
They actually gave us beers originally to try on the show. I had met with one of the guys. I don't think he's a part of the brewery now, but he met with me and gave. They were only had three beers at the time, right, guys? We tried three different ones.
Yeah,
yeah. There was three.
You had a whole Clown Shoes episode.
Yeah, so we did the three different beers that they had, and they've been putting out just a bunch since then.
Like,
I don't even know how many flavors they got now.
I have here probably 8 to 10 different styles from them.
Yeah.
Here in Texas. That's not just, you know, what they're brewing.
And when they first gave them to us, you couldn't find them outside of, like, probably, like, the northeast coast of Massachusetts, really.
Well, now you can find them everywhere by California, right?
Pretty much,
pretty quickly.
Yeah, see, all you got to do, brewers out there, if you got a new brewery, just send some beer to the Beer
send
Coasters,
beer the
and
beer
next
coasters,
thing you know, you'll be distributing everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
We'll
blow you up.
We get some shit done here.
There's big roasty flavor
And then at the end, I'm getting all kind of like a burnt. Just a
it's
lot
almost
of like
a burnt licorice.
Yeah. It's like
I'm getting
a burnt
candy. I'm getting some anise in there.
Yeah. But little. It's not super strong, but it's.
Big roasty coffee. There's something. I don't know. I mean, it's starting
it
to kind of dry.
It doesn't have like
up.
A really big mouthfeel, but in the aftertaste, you do get a lot of flavor going on. But as far as like the texture on the tongue, it doesn't seem like it's going to be super big at first until you're all done and you get a little air in there and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, I'm getting some really kind of burnt toffee kind of flavors.
It's a lot smoother than I would have expected a 12.5 to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't seem like
because it's not so boozy. It's actually huge beer. The alcohol kind of is masked by that kind of roasted, you know, burnt flavor. Not that I'm not saying that it tastes burnt because it really doesn't, but there's something kind of
like a deep roasting.
Like a molasses, but it's not quite molasses. Like you're saying, it's more anise and burnt sugar.
There is a little bit of molasses in there, and it stays, man. That mouthfeel sticks around. I mean, that aftertaste sticks around for a long time.
I wouldn't guess this was 12.5 by the sip. I mean,
no.
If you're trying to pick it out, you can find it beyond the roastiness, but it's not something that you would notice without knowing that it's 12.5%, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a problem because I can just about, I mean, I'm going to have no problem finishing the bottle, you know?
Yeah. And this is a 22, by the way. As far as I know, Clown Shoes only puts out the 22-ounce bottles.
No, they have 6-packs of the Lubrication.
Oh, really?
I've Lubrication, seen that. Nice.
I think Lubrication is the only one that they 6-pack.
Okay.
As far as I know.
What kind of beer is that?
I haven't seen that one. Is that like a black IPA
like
or something?
A pale ale or something. It's
great. Just what you need, a black IPA with Lubrication.
Yeah, check it out. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I've never jumped on it. Like, ooh, check it out. It's Clown Shoes. I got to get it. It just maybe whatever description I saw of it on the bottle, I was like, I'll go for a tramp stamp before I go for the Lubrication.
Dave always uses Lubrication when he jumps on the
bottle. I'll always go for the Lubrication before I go for the tramp stamp. I'm not about getting my junk all ripped up.
Beer Advocate calls it an American Black Ale, so it's a black IPA.
You heard it here. Dave would rather go for the black with Lubrication than he'd go for the tramp stamp.
Well, to each his own, I suppose.
It's a good thing your girlfriend doesn't listen to the show.
Sweeter the berry. The darker the berry, the sweeter the juice.
There you go.
What would you guys pair with this?
Ooh, I don't know, man.
Well, what the hell are you on the show for?
This is like an after dinner sipper.
Yeah, see, it doesn't strike me as a sipper. That's the thing.
It strikes you as a beer you would pound, Chris.
That's dangerous.
I'm pounding it right now. I'm almost done with it.
Yeah, that's pretty quick, Chris.
It was a rough day at work.
You pound pretty fast, huh?
This could stand up to something like big and creamy.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking more like meaty, like a beef stew or a chili or something.
Yeah, a chili would be good.
Or what about like those chilies with the dumplings on top or something?
I think chocolate would go well with this, like dessert wise, like a chocolate cheesecake or something like that. That's my opinion.
I was thinking like a full on sundae with like hot fudge
top
or something.
Really I think well. If you get chocolate in there.
Would it make a good root beer float or a beer float?
Oh, yeah, dude. Blend this up with some vanilla bean or something like that.
Or even have just a little of this drizzled on some like vanilla ice cream would be good, too.
Reduce it.
Yeah. Make us,
There we go. We haven't had someone suggest a beer reduction sauce to glaze your sundae.
Actually, Gina said something about doing a reduction last week, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Dave. Yeah. We appreciate it. Yeah. We'll give you a shout out at
the
end of the show.
I was on that show, right?
Yeah, you were there.
Did I say something about the reduction?
You were there, but you probably weren't there.
I'm never here.
Really it's never, there, it's never really. It's never really connected.
Damn.
I'm getting a little bit of raisin in there too, just on that next last sip.
Back to the show.
Oh yeah, back to
trying
the
to
beer,
get back on track. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's check out some ratings.
Beer Advocate. The users rate it a 90, and the Alstrom Brothers, they haven't tried it yet.
Ooh, 90. That's pretty.
Is there
good
a reason why we even still use the Alstrom Brothers?
Well, you never know. They do surprises
it's,
sometimes.
It's kind of fun
and
to see.
I,
you know?
I do enjoy that.
And it looks like the Blakehorn Unidragon on Untappd has about 1,686 ratings, and that comes in at 3.94. So pretty.
Wowzers. Pretty. All right. So that is the Blakehorn Unidragon Russian Imperial Stout, one of many Clown Shoes Imperial Stouts that they put out.
I just couldn't imagine a Russian believing in a unicorn.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, the unicorn exists. Nah.
I don't know. Most of them believed in communism. That was fairly mythical.
Yeah, but that was on a pretty epic proportion, though.
Check out more Clown Shoes info at clownshoesbeer.com.
Oh, which right now isn't working. So hopefully by the time you hear this on Friday, it'll be up and running. Because the only thing that's working right now is their homepage.
Weird.
At least it was when I did my homework earlier tonight.
Weird.
All right, so we'll be back right after this.
Pause, America.
Gemini Lounge, a chill new cocktail bar in Portland, Oregon. A gourmet bar food haven with creative cocktails, happy hour specials, drink specials, and great local beers on tap. Don't forget to go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Gemini Lounge logo, and print out your free draft beer voucher. Gemini Lounge is committed to supporting local and eco-friendly options. Local handmade and vintage art on the walls, and even 75% of the building materials were purchased from locally owned businesses. Located at 6526 Southeast Foster Road, Portland, Oregon. Great tunes, good vibes. It's Gemini Lounge.
Beer drinkers of the world, it's now time to check the headlines of the Beer Coasters Daily.
So, hot topics.
I like.
What did we decide on? Chris was going to do his conspiracy theories. Let's go.
Oh, I wasn't serious about that.
Oh, okay.
But if we want to talk about it, I'm perfectly willing to talk about it. So for some reason tonight, I don't know what's going on, but it seems like all of the like sort of craft beer websites are down. So yeah, I talked to Alex Jones earlier, and he told me that there was going to be a concerted effort by AB to take down all the craft beer websites.
Wow. And AB is part of the globalist elite. And
they're the 1%ers.
They're secretly owned by the Rothschilds. Didn't you know that?
Yes. Right. It's their new world order of beer.
That's right.
their new beer order.
I don't know. Coors is working.
that qualifies as a craft brew, Dave.
Yeah.
So what exactly does qualify as a craft beer? Because
Chris,
into
this. Oh, no. Wait, come on,
Chris. Did you put your birthday in like on these websites that you went to?
Yeah. No. What?
Because you know, sometimes when you go to the beer websites, they make you put your birthday in. If you don't put your birthday in, like, you don't have access to the rest of the webpage.
Huh. Dude, I know how the web works.
So speaking of the globalists and the elite, this story comes from FoxNews.com.
So it must be true.
Well, at least the 2%ers think it is.
This is,
well, we know it's fair and balanced titled, anyway.
Exactly. Fox News is like is just like how I like my beer. Fair and balanced.
This story is called Unusual Ways Extreme Craft Brewers Are Pushing Beer Boundaries. Ooh. We've got extreme sports, extreme makeovers, and now extreme beer.
Yeah, I can't. And can I say for the record that I can't stand that term? Extreme beers?
Yeah. It's pretty lame.
Well, and especially now.
If they're referring to the type of beer that we drink on the show, I mean, this type of beer has been around for quite a while.
Well, and at this point, the only thing that you can even classify as extreme beer would be something from, like, BrewDog or, you know.
Well, yeah, maybe these days. But you think about some of the stuff that we're drinking. I mean, you know, a good example here. You know,
Zima was pretty extreme. I mean, they went to the first clear percent. Beer.
We did not too long ago the Jubilation 16 was 16% alcohol. So,
yeah,
but I don't think alcohol is just the definition of extreme.
No, and that's nothing new. I mean, Carlsberg has been brewing a beer with 10% for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but when you get into stories like this and when they're coming from Fox News, this is new territory for places like this where they're just like, whoa, you know, they're, you know, I don't, I mean, they do mention like a six pack for over $90.
Right. So I mean, that's a price extreme.
Which one are they talking about there? They're talking about the West Berlin. Yeah.
But that's not even a six pack. It came like in a two pack or whatever.
A stout with a dizzying 15%.
Well, you know, what's funny is they bring up the West Berlin for $90, but they don't talk about the Utopias, which is the Utopias 10th anniversary that came out last year was $190 a bottle.
And it was only like a 750 mil bottle?
Yeah, well, it's the
it's a weird size.
I forget how big it is, but it's the custom kind of copper covered. I thought
the wine bottle size.
It's like its own size.
The 750 mil is like a regular wine bottle, but the Utopias is kind of shaped a little bit like a Goldschlager kind of bottle, right?
Yeah,
it's got that. What do you call those?
It looks like a copper kettle.
A copper kettle, like a brewing kettle, the top of a beer kettle. Yeah, but you know the extremes are more than just you know the price or alcohol. I mean, I think there's a lot of other extremes that you know beers can take. You know,
as far as ingredients, we've been all over the map too. That's been pretty crazy. I mean, we have stuff with black pepper and sweet potato and weasel coffee and kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we're gonna
which I think we'll be having a weasel coffee show coming up. Spoiler alert. An entire show dedicated to
that. So far, 2013 has been full of spoilers.
So let's go back to the article here. You know, in the article, it quotes Sam Calagione. They're saying the guy who really coined the term was Sam Calagione, the owner and brewer, obviously of Dogfish Head. He started making huge risks with beers beyond what people were doing on a small scale, and he was doing it on a large scale. And he was one of the first to stick his head out there to do something different than what others had been doing.
And it's paid off huge for him.
Well, yeah. So what makes a beer extreme? Simply put, it's a brew that pushes brewing beyond the normal parameters of an average ale.
The smallest state with the biggest beers.
It goes on to say that winemakers might make 40 wines across 40 vintages. You know, that sucks. Your entire life, you only have 40 chances to get it right, reasons Dave Flaherty, beer director for a health restaurant in New York City. But brewers can be more like chefs and brew every day. They can make 365 beers, you know, in a year. And the only thing that's happening... and brewing is looking to be more progressive. So, I mean, that is an advantage of making beers that, you know, you could make beer every day of the week. You know, you don't have to wait for, you know, well, unless you're using fresh hops, you don't have to wait for anything to grow or, you know, or to be dealt with.
So do you think that this whole thing started with the rise of the IPA?
Well, I mean, I think IPAs even in a sense are kind of an extreme. You know, they had to find a way to make beers.
That's what I mean. In just a few short years ago, IPAs were virtually non-existent. And then you had companies like brewers coming out like Stone. And then there was this never-ending pursuit to put more hops and get more hops in beer. And out of that sprung all of these other beers. I mean, I would argue that the IPA is what started this craft brew craze.
It's interesting because when you talk about sort of any industry and sort of what drives that industry, it's always competition. And so when you look at the IPA is a perfect example. So when you started looking at extremes and how far you could push it, yeah, the IPA is a perfect example. One brewery would try to out bitter, out hop the next brewery.
And, you know, it started with the double IPAs and then that whole, the hop back chamber thing, you know, where people are actually, you know, after the, they have the beer and then they're filtering that through hops to try to extract the oils from the hops as well. So,
and Mark, especially being from San Diego, you've been exposed to that, I think, sooner, or you've been exposed to it more than the rest of the country,
Say, as far as San Diego isn't even in the top 10 of brewery.
We talked about that last week.
Of brew town. Yeah.
According to that article last week. But yes, we know that San Diego's in the top 3 for sure, in our opinion anyway. And most probably beer geeks' opinion.
We have a couple good breweries here.
Yeah, a couple.
But you might be right. I mean, the IPA, it was definitely, I don't know if it started in California, but man, they've definitely took almost possession of that style, I think.
It's gone too far.
It's interesting that that Fox News is covering this now, because I think that the idea of extreme beer, if you were talking about it a year ago, 2 years ago, would have been more about pushing boundaries. And I don't think we're at that point anymore. I think most people have done the pushing boundaries thing.
Yeah, I think now you get more breweries dialing back.
Yeah, and I think they're looking for.
No, they're doing. They're just all doing a different fad. I mean, the IPA was the big fad,
Right.
And then saisons was the big fad, and then riser coming.
Don't call it a fad.
Dave's on the fad kick.
But that's the thing is, I don't even think they're fads. I think that because the IPA is still strong.
Yes, there are trends that kind of flow through in waves as far as breweries go, but.
You can call it a fad, but most of the breweries out there now, almost all of them can point to an IPA as being one of their flagships.
Flagships, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll point out an interesting observation. You know, a few years ago, you'd go to a pub in San Diego, and the menu would be dominated by IPAs, different IPAs from different local brewers or other brewers. Today, though, the diversification of that beer list is much different.
Right.
It's much better. You have a handful of IPAs. You've got maybe one or two lagers. You've got a few porters, a few stouts. You've got saisons. You've got all the different varieties. So I think it's expanded much wider. I think IPA is now a much smaller part. I think it's still a go-to beer for a lot of people. But I think the diversity has definitely increased.
As far as trends go, I kind of see what you're saying, Dave, but I think it's more of like.
Well, I think that fads and trends are a bit different, because I think I think there's waves of trends within what the breweries do, but I don't think that necessarily means like it's a fad that kind of comes in and just kind of fades away.
Right. A fad is something that fades, that eventually goes away. And I don't think we're at that point. I think we see spikes in trends in different styles.
All right, I'll give you that.
We'll see a spike in a style. But even then, so what'll happen is you'll have a brewery, a few breweries like, you know, we had 2 years ago or about a year and a half ago, we had the Cascadian or Black IPA sort of trend. So you have a bunch of people pushing out Black IPAs. And what happens is you sort of flood the market, you have a few standouts, and all of a sudden those standouts become regular offerings from the beers, from the breweries that offer them, and the rest of them go away. So it's more of a sort of turnip.
So it's a race or it's a pissing contest, and whoever wins gets to keep their style.
No, I think of it more of as like a tournament style battle, right?
Yeah. Rye is big. We got to put something with rye in it. We got to brew something with rye in it, and then
because people
flood
like
the
it,
market
you know?
with beers that are brewed with rye, and then you know there's going to be a lot that fade away, but there'll be a good core group that's will hang in there. And be
like really rye, when is the
rye
the
great.
Pilsner
rye is
when
awesome.
Is the Pilsner trend gonna hit?
I think the Pilsner trend will hit. I think every style will have it will have its day in the sun, so to speak.
Well, there was a little bit of an Imperial Pilsner that came up a couple of years ago, and you can still find Imperial Pilsners.
Yeah, but the underlying trend in this country is the Pilsner, because that's what Budweiser is, that's what Coors is, that's what all those beers is. The
you know
majority
what, you know what
of American beer drinkers, they drink Pilsner. That's what they drink.
Right. You know what? I bet you the next trend will be Pilsner, because all the hipsters are going to tune into craft beer.
Well, they already are, because they're all drinking PBR.
You heard it first here on the Beer Coasters.
Just for the record,
intentional breweries.
No, I'm not standing
behind
that.
I'm the cool hip one this week because I'm
why? Why can't you make a craft
Pilsner
for
my tasting flight?
No, I think
why can't you?
But it has rye in it. I think you absolutely can make a craft Pilsner. Sam Adams demonstrated by their Imperial Pilsner, great beer. And I think Pilsner. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I have no problem with Pilsners, lagers.
As it's good
as long as it's done right.
Yep. Right. Well, it tastes good. It's not watered down.
Yeah, I mean, if it doesn't taste like corn and corn and or rice, then I'll give
that's
you know,
the thing. Is,
I'll give
as
it
long
a chance.
As you're using as long as you're using quality ingredients in the right percentages, you're going to produce a quality product. But the minute you start putting in adjuncts that are
cheap to make it
right,
cheaper,
when your primary focus is cost, and don't get me wrong, I mean, I understand it's a business, but by that same token, you know, your breweries that are going to focus more on quality are going to serve one part of the market, and then your people that are going to focus strictly on cost are going to serve a different one.
So to wrap up this Hop Topics this week, you can go to beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Hop Topics link, and then you'll find this story there. Read up on it. But the thing is that when these stories come around, I'm kind of torn, because I'm like, yeah, you know, we already know this kind of stuff. We know that the market is, you know, doing this, and we know that kind of thing. But I also think that it's cool that somebody like Fox News puts something out.
Yeah, anytime you get light shed on the craft beer scene, we appreciate that. Yeah.
We'll be back right after this. Pause, America.
You know, drinking beer and being social is a big part of what we do here at the Beer Coasters Podcast. So we'd invite you to join us at any number of our internet social websites. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, Untappd, Google+, and even Pinterest. That's right. Cheers.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
That's a horrible cow noise.
Yeah, that was
like a cow going down a slip and slide or something.
Okay, Toby, at the beginning of Dave's segment today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You have to find the theme song to Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Okay. So, my beer for this week is from Laughing Dog Brewing out of Ponderay, Idaho. This is the Dogzilla.
Holy shit, they actually brew beer in Idaho?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
They get a couple of good breweries. Potato malt.
Yeah.
It's like aren't gin. They like,
but you can't buy it on Sundays, though, right?
No, that's
You're
Utah.
You're thinking of Utah.
Oh. Yeah.
You.
Well, there's still a bunch of Mormons in Idaho, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, most of my family. So
sorry for alienating Chris's family here.
Yeah. So Laughing Dog Brewery out of Ponderay, Idaho, they have fetchingly good beer. It wasn't that funny, Dave.
No.
This beer is a black IPA. I couldn't get onto the website because of the whole conspiracy deal tonight. The ABV
those
listed
AB
on
hackers.
So I couldn't find the ABV and the IBUs on the website, but I found them on Beer Advocate. Now I'm a little skeptical because it says the ABV is 6.9 and the IBUs are 69. So take that with a grain of salt.
Could be.
Hey, that's all right.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty close.
It could be. Yeah, it's just, you know, 6.9 and 69.
Yeah.
So although the bottle does say 69%.
So, are you saying that Crazy Dave added that style beer to Beer Advocate? Is that what you're saying?
No, it's because this is something Dave would come up with. All right, so ABV is 6.9, IBU 69. Ingredients, true to its IPA roots, Dogzilla has a massive hop presence that is piney and citrusy. Ooh, this is according to their little label. A malty backbone along with a dark malt gives it a bit of roasty finish. Brewed with Simcoe and Cascade hops. Ooh. Pale malt, Munich, and black barley.
For those of you new listeners, the Simcoe would be the very piney.
Wait, is that, thank you.
And the Cascade would be the very citrusy.
Damn, that was almost very like citrusy. the beer coaster jargon guy.
Oh, speaking of which,
we haven't heard from him in a while.
Next week we have a new guy coming on, the Bavarian Barbarian. He'll be on next week. So tune in next week and listen to
tune in next week for the Barbarian. He's like a WWE guy, isn't he?
Weren't the barbarians from like Mongolia though?
No, there's barbarians from all over the place.
He said Bavarian.
It's barbarian. The Bavarian Barbarian.
Barbarian.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm pouring it.
Tune in next week, folks. He'll be on.
I've had an issue lately with really
flat beers.
Small head.
Sounds like a Dave problem.
You should be used to that, Chris.
So, but this one, not so much.
No, whoa, hey.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I've got a little beer in your head.
Four fingers of head. For a black IPA, it's not. For a black IPA, it's not very black.
It's not.
It's very clear. It's reddish. So it would figure that the first tasting flight I do upon coming back, I get a head that's four fingers tall.
That's a good, that's a good five-minute head right there.
Right. Everyone knows five-minute head. Every beer that I've had lately has been small head that dissipates quickly. And this one, big head and sticking around. So we'll give it just a second. It's not black, which kind of bothers me with a black IPA.
Yeah.
Is it brown?
It looks like an amber.
You know, we have talked about that before. Like, as ridiculous as the name is, that name is pretty much stuck, right? I mean, that black IPA, that name is kind of one over any other versions.
Oh yeah, they really
unless
wanted.
Unless you're from Oregon, then it's different.
It's a Cascadian IPA. They really
or
wanted
the American
to,
Black
to
Ale.
Not
be, that's the other one, but
right. So on the nose, it's got a really nice hop character.
What is this?
Nice and citrusy.
I gotta check this one out.
I mean, you got the two like kings of hops there. I mean, you should have a bunch
Did you
floral?
Pull it right out of the fridge. Is it pretty cool?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't quite get as much of the Simcoe, the Cascades, the citrusy hops are really forward and actually really nice on the nose. A lot of IPAs lately seem to be more on the bitter side and less on the kind of aromatic side. Sorry, I'm trying to get as much out of the nose as possible while I wait for the head to go down.
Are they little bubbles or kind of big bubbles?
Radlow, they're very small, compact. It's a very fluffy head. Really, really, really fluffy. I mean, it's like, you know, yeah, it's just very tight knit bubbles, but very fluffy. Lots of grapefruit on the nose.
Yeah, we've done Laughing Dog on quite a few shows, actually.
The Laughing Dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did them once, and I think we had them for a fermentation beer one time.
We did the For the Dogs issue. Really? We had the Devil Dog.
Taking a sip, yeah.
This is really freaking tasty. Got some really good grapefruit notes. It's weird. It's weird when you think of a black IPA. It's very bright in its flavor. Yeah. That you wouldn't expect. You'd expect a black IPA to have more bitterness and roastiness to it. I don't get a whole lot of roast.
And what kind of glass are you drinking out of? A pint glass?
It's a dogfish head kind of
almost like a white kind of glass.
It's like one of those Guinness glasses.
No, it's different though. It's a very unique glass.
How's the carbonation on it?
It's very carbonated.
Yeah.
Is it so carbonated that kind of like plays off the tongue where it's kind of making kind of the flavors kind of dissipate where, you know what I mean? Kind of
the effervescence, palate cleansing.
Not quite.
Yeah, it's not overly carbonated. Yeah. Like I've had some beers that are overly carbonated. This beer has a lot of grapefruit in it. Like this is probably the grapefruitiest beer I've ever had.
Oh, how about that?
And it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very strange that I wouldn't expect that from a black IPA. I would expect something a little more roasty with more bitterness.
Probably used a lot more Cascade than the Simcoe, probably.
Yeah. Mm. It's tasty, though. I like it. If I was going to pair this with something, it would have to be some sort of chicken dish, like a citrus chicken, maybe some something very light, like a citrus chicken with some jasmine rice with, something.
I knew a jasmine.
Along those lines.
So like the Chipotle chicken bowl.
No Chipotle.
That's a jasmine rice with...
With Chipotle, that's not what I'm talking about.
I think he's talking about the restaurant.
Citrus chicken.
Not actually.
Do you not have a Chipotle out there?
Peppers, but the restaurant.
You do not have Chipotle? Okay.
No, I do have Chipotle, but I wasn't. When you said Chipotle chicken bowl, I was thinking Chipotle's and not at all.
We had plenty of those.
Yeah, something. But something like a citrus chicken with jasmine rice, something along those lines would be very good with this. So, anyway. That's the Laughing Dog Dogzilla.
Beer Advocate users rate this a 78. 78. And the brothers, and they ain't tried it.
And Untappd has got 1,292 ratings at 3.31.
Ooh.
Very good.
Aces and Ales, premium craft beer bar in Las Vegas, Nevada, with happy hour Monday through Friday, 4 to 7 p.m. With a wide variety of hard-to-find craft beer on draft and bottle. Special tappings every month. Don't forget to stop by www.beercoasterspodcast.com, click on the Aces and Ales logo, and print out your free draft coupon. That's right, Aces and Ales, 3740 South Nellis Boulevard, Eastside, Las Vegas, Nevada. All killer, no filler. And now out west, it's time for Crazy Dave to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Chupacabra.
Yeah, this week I am drinking the Chupacabras. This beer is from the...
You're drinking it, man?
I'm drinking it, Holmes.
We're international this week,
dude. Totally, man. But check it out, man. This beer is from the Cucupa out of Calexico, California, or Mexicali, Mexico. I couldn't quite tell which side it was from because they had both addresses.
I think they're like most Mexicans where they're born in Mexico and raised in California.
New brewery!
But their like website, their website is, I was born here.
Yeah, we were.
Their website is www.cuca. Oh, I think maybe I got that wrong.
I think Dave's got that little asterisk on his birth certificate. Says Anchor Baby.
Their website is www.cucupa.com.
Cucupa.
Cucupa.
Oh, wait a minute. Cucupa. This label is different than the label I saw earlier. Let me see your bottle. You got the newer one.
Yeah.
On Beer Advocate, they have an older one. It's like more graphic. Well, I really like this label, actually.
Oh, this is cool.
I like this one, actually, better than the older one.
All right, well, here's the story on them. It's, in 2002, they opened their doors of one of the first microbrews in Mexico. After 3 years of planning, the first brew pub in Mexicali was opened, a bar where our beers were brewed. Da, 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 this is... We are the first and only Mexican microbrewery that has received a score of over 90 from the Beverage Tasting Institute for four of our beers. Our beer styles range dramatically from a blonde ale to a barley wine. Our beers are made only with local ingredients. Holy shit, do I really want to drink this? And
and local water.
Don't drink the water, man.
Yeah, who is it that has the free-range coastal water?
Rogue.
Rogue, that's right. Yeah. Free-range Mexican water? I don't think so.
It's so boiled.
They don't list any of their ingredients or anything, so I guess I
do.
Will...
Do they have a beer? Do they have a beer called Montezuma's Revenge? Because if they do,
No. But you know what though? They do have some pretty funny ones. They've got like a La Migra beer, and And it's got like the pitcher's got like a guy with a Border Patrol hat and sunglasses on, and they have a lowrider double ride. It's got the car, you know, a 6'4" bouncing up and down. They have a runaway that has the three people like on the signs.
Yeah.
And for those of you that are not in California or in the United States, there's a sign that's specific to California, and it's a yellow, diamond shaped sign with
a warning sign.
With a family running across the freeway.
Yeah. The first time I ever laid eyes on this sign, I could not stop laughing for at least 5 minutes straight. It was much the funniest sign I've ever seen. And the first time I actually saw a tumbleweed when I started traveling out west. The first time I actually saw a tumbleweed cross the road, I probably laughed about as hard as when I saw this sign.
So they do have a pretty good range of beers here. They even have a Baja Buggy. It's got like a little, you know, like one of those Baja 500, you know,
actually, buggy cars. Actually, I really like the artwork. I really do.
It's pretty cool.
It's interesting because they have a very, you know, when you hear, it's bad, but when you hear like Mexican brewery, you instantly think, okay, so they've got a lager. Right. But I mean, they've got an American brown ale. They've got an imperial stout. They've got a double rye. Beer.
They got a barley wine.
I'm super curious about this brewery now.
Yeah, I wanna say, I don't know for sure, but Beer Magazine did a story on a small craft brewery from Mexico, and it might be this one.
I think we're gonna have the Cinco de Mayo show coming up, and I think we might focus on this brewery here. That's what I think.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, there we go. I'll look for them. Now, I just poured this in, and it's got a really thin head. It's a very amber color. I mean, it's a caramel amber. You know, looks like an amber. I don't know how else to say it. The nose is actually kind of confusing because it smells dirty.
It
smells dirty. It smells kind of nasty.
It smelled nerdy.
No, dirty.
Well, no, that's this podcast.
Geeky. We smell a little more on the geeky side. Yeah. We're not so nerdy.
It's got a burnt, not a roasted smell, but a burnt kind of a smell. Like burnt weed, like burnt hops or something.
What does nerdy smell like? Slightly mildewy laundry? And peanut butter in the hair? I mean, I have no clue what nerdy smells like.
It's a little metal-y.
Cheetos and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, okay.
Or Cheetos and Mountain Dew, or Cheetos and Red Bull or something like that.
Well, I'm gonna take a sip and see what this tastes like, because the smelling's not giving me much.
If it tastes like Cheetos and anything, it's over.
I don't know, man. I can go for some Cheetos right now.
You know what? This beer actually takes me back.
Matter of fact, I got some goldfish crackers I might break out in a second. All right, I'm going to kind of expose a little East Coast ignorance here. And what is La Migra?
La Migra is the Border Patrol.
Border Patrol.
The Immigration Department is really literally what it means.
Do you remember that in Dave and Scouts? We used to play a game called La Migra.
Yeah, instead of capture the flag, we had La Migra. We'd have the Border Patrol in the mix.
We're like, okay, you guys are the Mexicans, and we're the Border Patrol, and we gotta come find you.
Yeah. So we try to cross the border.
Wow.
Only in Southern California, I guess.
Yes,
Boy Scouts.
Yes, we're preparing our future Border Patrol agents.
Migra, and stay away from the homosexuals.
this is your quintessential pale ale. You know, this takes me back to the first kind of pale ales that I was drinking, you know, like when Carl Strauss had their pale ale, and, you know, whoever else, you know, they were these microbrews, like, oh, they got a new microbrew, go try this. This is what this reminds me of. I mean, it's just a...
Oh.
Like Sierra Nevada pale ale?
No, because Sierra Nevada has more of a hop.
Tastes like Sierra Nevada pale ale?
None.
I don't know if that even classifies to me.
I don't know, most IPAs.
Yeah. No, but this is more like your more malty pale ale, you know,
like English style, and which is I think what Beer Advocate actually calls it is an English style pale.
I mean, because I'm getting
got a lot of malt in there, then.
You know, I'm tasting like kind of like those crackers with like the little seeds and stuff in them. That's what this, you know, really reminds me of. Like those. Yeah. I mean, and even in the aftertaste, like, that's all I get is cracker, 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 cracker. So for being a Mexican beer. I know. Órale, we gotta look white, eh?
Is it a little wet on the back of your tongue?
Actually, when you're, believe it or not, it's not. It actually. I was just about to mention that on the aftertaste, it actually kind of dries up on you.
Oh man,
and it's almost got like kind of like a peppery ryeness to it, you know, which is kind of interesting. But
is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because you don't traditionally like the rye thing.
No, I don't. But it's not really rye like. I mean, it's. I kind of like the maltiness of it.
I don't know how many minutes we are into our show right now, but I'm actually just finishing up the last sip of my Unidragon.
Yeah. Wow. Milking it?
You took that whole thing down, huh? I had to split mine in half with Gina.
No, I finished mine a long time ago.
You know, what would you pair with this, I was just Dave? Thinking,
you know, I don't want to be stereotypical because it's a Mexican beer and put Mexican.
Yeah, but listen, I mean, you're in San Diego, so, I mean, to pair it with Mexican food is like me pairing it with a freaking cheeseburger up here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Refried beans and rice and carnitas, I think, would probably be a good pairing for this.
Carnitas!
Hey, when in Rome,
I would... kill
or Mexicali
for some rolled tacos and a carne asada burrito right now.
No, not rolled tacos or carne asada, man. Carnitas. Just no, carnitas plate.
I don't give a shit about your beer. What? I'm just saying.
Hey, I don't care about your food pairing at all. I'm not even listening to what you paired it with.
I'm just hungry and can really go for a carne asada burrito and rolled tacos.
Yeah, you know the problem with that, though, is I can walk across the street to the taco shop.
Problem with that, except for the fact that I can't f-ing get them here.
For Untapped, the Cucapá Chupacabras Pale Ale comes in at a 3.31. out of 416 ratings.
Beer Advocate users rate this a 79, which is average. And once again, the Brothers Ahlstrom have not tried this beer. So far, what is this? We've done 3 beers and no Brothers Ahlstrom so far, right?
Yeah.
You know, I think if I see these guys at the beer bloggers conference, I gotta let them know what's up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's 100 million beers we haven't tried yet either. We've only had what 300 beers.
We have merely scratched the surface in our near 4 year or we're in our fourth season here, almost fifth season.
Thanks, Dave.
And we'll be back, folks, right after this.
Pause, America.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Beer Coasters podcast, and don't forget to support your local brewery, your local beer pubs, your local beer bars, and your local home brewers, etc. Drink local, because local's fresh. Oh!
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
This is Mike from Boston, in case you haven't guessed by now. I'm going to try the Coney Island Mermaid Pilsner. This is from Schmaltz Brewing Company.
Schmaltz Brewing Company.
And this particular beer, the Coney Island series, is brewed and bottled in New York.
New York City!
And to get to their website, you can go to www.schmaltzbrewing.com/Coney. They've been brewing since 1996. This is a Pilsner that I'm trying.
Hey, Pilsner!
Good thing, because that's what they called it. The ABV on this is 5%. Couldn't find the IBUs. I'm going to crack it. I couldn't get any specifics. They use 4 spicy hops and 7 malts. One being rye, which I thought was very interesting to have a Pilsner with rye malt. So I'm pouring this into my, actually like a Weiss glass here that I have from Cheers Bar in Boston here. If you can see that. I know our listeners can't see it.
Oh, yeah. Cheers.
Okay. So it's yellow. And I got about a pinky finger ahead. It looks much darker here on the camera than it does here, personally. On the nose, lemony, but there is a bit of lageriness in there. It's something else, something kind of sugary candy. There's like a malt candy kind of smell to it. I can't quite pinpoint what it is. But yeah, lemon and some malts.
Like a lemon drop?
Kind of, but it's got more of a malty something in there. Like it's not like a sour lemon kind of
smell. Like a lemon scone.
Or like a lemon zest.
Like a lemon scone, yeah.
Or lemon bar. I love lemon bars.
I guess it is kind of like a lemon bar because you can smell the that pastry part of it. You know, like the
sugary part of it.
Hey, there's some kind of sweet malt in there. There is that lageriness that's kind of coming through here. You can kind of almost guess that it's a lager by the smell, even though it's a pilsner. That's one of those things where all pilsners are lagers, but not all lagers are pilsners. I think we've talked about that before. I'm going to take a sip. Speaking of which, before I take a sip, this was a silver medal winner in the 2011 World Beer Championships.
Taking a sip, yeah!
Biscuity type maltiness, but very bright and light. It's like a lemon biscuit, almost like a... Like you put honey and lemon on a biscuit a little bit at the end, but actually not as dry as I would expect it to be for a Pilsner. Should dry up quite a bit, but that kind of lemony biscuitiness is just kind of still hanging there. It's a bit smoother than I would expect it to be. One thing about Coney Island beers, I don't know if anybody's ever tried them, but if you've ever tried the Coney Island Lager, it's not your average lager. It's a very malty kind of amber beer. And this, as far as Pilsner goes, this is not your average Pilsner, although there are some aspects of kind of a lager yeast in there. There's a very biscuity kind of malt and lemon zestiness that kind of brightens it up. It's definitely not your average Pilsner.
Is it still, you know, like chuggable and like lawnmower type beer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is actually would be very interesting as like a summer offering. And I'm thinking food-wise that Japanese food would go really well with this.
Oh, Japanese food.
Whether you want to go straight sushi or even like sashimi. A
chicken
teriyaki bowl, something like that. would go really well with this. It's
a fresher quail egg on the
just
on
enough of the, that kind of biscuity maltiness. The kind of it's got more body than your average Pilsner, so I think it would do well with Japanese cuisine. And I'm going to untap it here. The ratings. Let's see. The Beer Advocate rate this, the users rate this an 82, which is considered good. And the Brothers Ahlstrom, guess what, folks? They have not tried this beer.
Well, there's no way they would try
Pilsner. They have one more chance on this show.
I know, they only have one more chance, huh? Let's see, Mermaid Pilsner. Sorry,
trying to. Untapped? I've got it here.
You got it?
Oh, you got it?
I'm going to untap it right now. The rating is 3.29 out of 5 with 1,117 ratings. So, yeah, if you get a chance, check this one out. It's, I believe it's a regular offering from them. This is a regular 12-ounce bottle that I kind of mixed my own six-pack, actually, to get this beer. And I said it was 5%. It's actually 5.5%. Not that that makes that much of a difference, 0.5%.
Liar!
But
don't be falsifying check this one out. Your labeling. You
know, the Coney Island beers, I know a lot of people see them here in New England and don't necessarily pick them up. You should, because it's it's not what you think it will be. You know, you see the Coney Island Lager, Pilsner, the Albino Python, which is like a wit beer. There's a bunch of their regular beers that are not your average version. Guaranteed, they're not a textbook style of whatever they say they are. So,
Well, that could be good and bad, then, huh?
Yes.
Are they
absolutely?
Are they the same brewery that does the Hebrew?
Yes, they are. Smaltz Brewing Company is the same as Hebrew and Coney Island. They are basically a bi-coastal brewery. They're San Francisco and New York. So,
bi-coastal.
Yes, bi-coastal.
Cool.
And on that note, folks, we'll be back right after this. Pause, America.
Hey guys, it's Tony from Beer 411 over in Connecticut. And you're listening to the Beer Coasters Podcast.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
All right, it's finally my turn to drink again. This is Toby out west. I am trying Six Rivers Brewing Company's, or Six Rivers Brewery, their Sasquatch Ale. Six Rivers Brewery is a microbrew and restaurant out of McKinleyville, California, up there in Northern Cali. I'm cracking it. I don't know why, because I want to drink beer.
Crack it then.
This is an Imperial IPA according to Untappd and Beer Advocate, but on their website it doesn't really say what style it is, and their bottle just says it's an ale. But it comes in at 9.0% ABV, so I guess that could be an Imperial IPA.
What does Beer Advocate call it? Do we know?
Imperial IPA.
Usually pretty good at figuring that stuff out.
Yeah.
So it needs to be pointed out that we're doing a Mythical Creatures show, and nobody did a Yeti.
I thought about that.
But I'm doing the Sasquatch.
I was thinking we did all the Yetis, didn't we?
Yeah.
We
did a Yeti show. Because
we did
a Yeti finger show. Because
I was in there in the store, and I was looking. I was like, well, there's the Belgian Yeti.
Yeah, but we did all those.
I think we did all the Yetis.
We already did it.
Yeti had its time here on the show, and Yeti gets mentioned almost every show.
I mean, there was there was the sea monster from Ballast Point that I thought was like a good contender for this week's show too. So, you know what? We might have to do a Mythic Ale Creatures too. You know,
I already did the sea monster on the show.
Did you?
Well, I did that Mermaid Red from.
You did Mermaid 20,000
Leagues
and sea
on Beers Under the Sea. We did that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the ingredients in this Sasquatch Ale. They don't really list exactly what it is, but they say all their beers ingredients are imported. They all use copious amounts of whole Cascade and Columbus hops,
copious
water, yeast, and nothing else.
Isn't that a great word?
So all of their ingredients are imported?
Yep.
That's not very American.
Nope. It's not. I don't know. It's funny how they say that. I mean, I don't know if that's supposed to be a positive thing, but you'd think up there in Northern Cali, they'd be all like, grow local.
Local.
Yeah, baby. Every ingredient used was within a 6-mile radius of the brewery.
They're all hand-picked without the use of machines.
All organic.
Right. They're all hand-picked. Hand-picked some hops, dude. That'll take you a while.
Hand-picked by local hippies.
So it pours out kind of a murky brown with some...
Murky.
Kind of like reddish tones to it, so it's almost like an Indian clay kind of color.
Oh, sounds very Sasquatchy.
Oh, hello there, Sipping Bear is here, and I got about a Yeti finger of head.
I'm glad to join you here on Toby's tasting flight.
Welcome, Sipping Bear.
Yes,
please have
some
a seat around the fire
with the Yeti. Which is also known as the Sasquatch.
All right, so on the nose. Whoa, there's some weird funk in this one.
Smells like a Yeti.
It smells like a Sasquatch's ass.
I get some hops. I get some like candy kind of hop aromas. But there's this weird, it's also grassy, but it's almost like, you know, this is probably a really bad description, but you know, you guys mow your lawn, and then if you don't get all of the grass out of the basket and you go to mow your lawn again, like a few months later, there's that old dried up grass still in the basket and it has this certain kind of smell.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like dead leaves or something like that, but it's,
have you ever mowed your lawn and left the clippings sit in the, in the bin and then open
it? Like you don't get them all out. Like you only mowed your lawn, like, I don't know, and it wasn't that.
Is that kind of like when you wipe your butt, but you don't get it all out, and your ass smells for like
some dingleberries?
Yeah. Now, if a Yeti does that, you know it's nasty.
Right. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure that Dave is on par with the Yeti when it comes to dingleberries.
But that's only because the hair ratio compared to the rest of us.
Yeah.
I'm nowhere nearly as hairy as a
Whoa, this is weird. It's not bad, but it's weird. It's like fruity and candy and kind of grassy. And the malt in there is this, wow, this is, it's almost like I'm eating like a fruit salad, but.
Is that ambrosia salad?
Yeti salad?
Are you tossing the Yeti salad?
Oh, no.
Did he wipe first?
In the aftertaste, there's this bitterness. It's like this, like sour grass kind of bitterness in the back, but it's really sweet. Yeah, there's like apple flavors in there, and this is very strange, but it's not bad. It's like, it's kind of good. I'm like, whoa, this is...
Interesting.
Kind of crazy. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Like the Yeti itself. Quite interesting.
So you're going to have a hard time pairing it then too, yeah?
The closest thing I can compare it to flavor-wise is like a fruit salad. It's really weird. But it's not... There's sweetness, but it's not like... You know, because like you put marshmallows or something in fruit salad, right? This is more of like apples and oranges and so you can drop grapes.
Some, you can make some Jello out of it. You know, stuff some.
Yeah, in. Yeah. It's kind of like that, but then there's also that bitterness from the hops. It's you still get a really nice aftertaste of bitterness in the middle, and then on the outside you still get that fruit salad-y sweetness. It's
crazy. What are you gonna pair with this, son?
It almost feels, it's weird. It feels kind of back and forth. It almost feels kind of Christmassy, but then it also feels kind of like springtime picnic-y.
I was going to say picnic-y because, I mean, you're talking fruit salad. That's the first thing you think of, you know, as a picnic-y. But an Imperial Double IPA is not.
And it had some alcohol warming picnic-y. Happening too. So I'm thinking like bread. Like the only thing I can think of that would be good with this is bread.
Really?
Like a sandwich? Or how about a sandwich? Yeah.
Any particular kind of bread?
Like a bread?
Like a sourdough or something even? Can you be
No,
specific?
Not even a sourdough. Just like some sort of...
Wonder
like
bread.
How dare you, sir.
I guess a sandwich, like a really thick, maybe like a turkey sandwich, I guess, would be good. With some really thick bread, you know, like...
Like the torta bread?
No, just thick cut bread with, you know, real crusty crust.
Big ass French roll?
Yeah. Wow, this is interesting.
Well, Untappd has got 67 whole users drinking it. They come in at 3.58. And Beer Advocate doesn't have anything.
This time, so you guys gotta...
There's no...
Nothing on Beer Advocate?
There's seven ratings, and the brothers have not yet got this beer. So
seven ratings?
Every single beer we've done on the show, the Elstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer?
Correct.
Wow. All right, so there you have it. That's the Sasquatch Ale from Six Rivers Brewery out of McKinleyville, California.
So I think the big question is, would the Yeti kick the shit out of the Sasquatch?
Ooh.
I think so.
We might have to have a Yeti, Sasquatch, Bigfoot throwdown one of these days.
I think Sasquatch is more of an American like territory, right?
Yeah.
Whereas the Yeti is Asian kind of.
They're all
North same, India man. Kind
of. They're all the freaking. Dude, they're same, all Bigfoot. Man.
Dude, you throw that West in you know Asia kind of thing in there. I think you kick his ass.
Oh, so you're saying that the Yeti knows a little bit of martial arts and the Sasquatch? What does the Sasquatch know? He's more of like a street fighter.
Yeah, but you know the Yeti's
he's like
also,
the Rocky Balboa.
But I would think the Yeti probably lives in higher altitudes. Probably has a little bit better.
And
you
what
know,
the Bigfoot? The Bigfoot has some kind of wrestling background.
Okay, so our next show. Okay, so the throwdown, the Bigfoot throwdown is going to be. Crouching Sasquatch, hidden Yeti.
Nice.
I like that. Sasquatch,
man, we'll hidden Yeti. All right, check out their website, sixriversbrewery.com. We'll be back right after this. Right, John, y'all. Sir Ingram says, "No class in the morning, but I still have a paper due. Beer, Adderall, weed, and smokes. My dad would be so proud." If you have any questions or comments about the show, feel free to email us, backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you can call our hotline, 339-225-9274. That's 339-BACKWASH without the C.
All right, everybody, last call.
So we got to do some pint ratings. Chris, what you got?
So, for the... Blaycorn Unidragon from Clown Shoes Brewery. I really like this beer a lot. It was pronounced and strong and aggressive without being overpowering. I found it extremely drinkable.
Are you sure that we're pronouncing it right, though?
I'm pretty sure it's Unidragon.
Do you think is it Blaycorn Unidragon?
or is it Blaycorn? Never mind, sorry.
So the unicorn beer from Clown Shoes. I really like this beer. I felt that it was for a beer that's 12.5%. It was extremely drinkable. I mean, I drank the whole 22 ounces with no problem whatsoever.
No problem.
Dang. Feeling it now, but.
I was gonna say, you gotta be feeling something after being a 22 or 12 pointer.
But you know, when you talk about drinkability and when you start looking at higher alcohol content beers, you know, there's somewhat of a danger in the fact that you can get a drinkable,
you make a good point, though.
High alcohol content because it's high, but it's not. You know, it's very drinkable.
It's not noticeable.
Right. So, I really liked it. I'm going to give it a 4 pint out of 5.
It's not noticeable until your speech starts getting slurred a little bit. And then you go, oh, there's 12.5.
Once you start licking your lips and sort of being conscious of your lips, that's when it's... that's when you know you're drunk. When you realize that you have lips.
Not after you've taken your shirt off and you start making other bad decisions. I mean, it's when your lips...
Right.
When you
notice that you
have lips.
Because taking your shirt off and making bad decisions is a normal day for you, Dave.
I took my pants off halfway through the show. Does that mean anything?
That's you lost halfway through. You never wear pants. What are you talking about?
That's true. I don't.
The fact that you had them on to begin with made yes. it an abnormal day. And then for the
wait a minute, what'd you give it? What was your rating?
I said four.
Four.
Four. Oh, four.
4 points. For the Laughing Dog, Dogs, you know, it's really difficult for me to give pint ratings right now because I've been away for so long that everything just tastes so good to me. So I feel like I'm gonna rate it higher, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe you should give yourself like a half point deduction just yeah. until you get that's back
not,
in
the that's thing. Not really fair to the beer, though. I mean, because if it's a good beer, it's a good beer. No, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, I kind of did that with the Blakehorn Unidragon because it's extremely drinkable for you know.
Well, that's a half a point
the
right
type,
there.
The type of beer that it was, but you know, I didn't want to go 4.5 because, like, I think both of my beers last week were 4.5 and 5. So,
you know, it was like that Jubilation that we had a few weeks back. You know, it was really drinkable, but it was a high alcohol beer, you know, so I totally ridiculous. Get with what you're saying.
Yeah, the Jubilation is. So anyway, moving on to the Dogzilla Black IPA. It was a very interesting beer because I didn't expect it to be as bright as it is. So I'm gonna give it 3.5 pints. But it's a great beer. I mean, it's really there's lots of grapefruit bitterness in there, very citrusy. I guess for it being a black IPA, I kind of knock it down a peg or two because no, with a black IPA, I expect there to be a little bit of I don't when I look at a black IPA, I don't want it to just be color. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want there to be some
racist.
Some character from the blackness. You know.
Oh, so you don't want an Uncle Tom then?
Right. More of a Django character.
God. Can we save this for next month, folks? Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not Black History Month.
Yeah, not quite yet.
So you're saying that it can, with a black IPA, you get the hops and you get the roastiness. That's mainly like what makes a black IPA.
That's what I would want from an IPA.
Yeah. So color doesn't really matter. As far as it comes across with that roastiness and that
Toby
hoppiness,
diplomatic about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, but he's right.
It doesn't really matter that it's black. Okay. Right. It doesn't really matter how dark it is.
I mean, look at Morgan Freeman. You know, everyone likes Morgan Freeman.
The colors,
you know, but he's not really all that dark.
Let's look at what's inside.
And the content of its character.
What's Dogzilla get?
These are the rails, and this is us like flying off of them.
Yes.
Okay. What's your rating?
I told you a 3.5.
Oh, 3.5.
So, yeah, for the Dogzilla. Anyway,
all right.
Let's move on because we've gone racist enough.
Crazy day. What you got?
Chupacabra. When I first started drinking, well, first of all, I didn't drink the clown shoes, Blakehorn Unidragon.
Oh really, yeah, that's right.
So I don't have a rating for it. I'm sure it'll be
our show. Our show is even shorter.
Yeah, but the the Chupacabra, the Chupacabra. I mean, it had a very cool name and it's got a very cool label, but the smell of it was a little off, you know. When I drank it came up a little better, but I mean it's just a pale ale.
How would you smell if you sucked goats all day?
It needs to be a little less Los Angeles and a little more Orange County.
How many pints does Chupacabra get?
You know, I've had better, I've had worse, you know, so I'll come in at a right in the middle at 2.5, you know. It does its job, you know. It's
right.
I'd have my carnitas with rice and beans with it, you know.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave. What about you, Mike?
All right. For me, the Blakehorn Unidragon. Since we're throwing accents in.
Oh, is
here
it French
now?
Unidragon.
It was good. I enjoyed it, but I don't think I enjoyed it as much as Chris. I'm going to give it a 3.5. I think it was drinkable for a big beer,
I don't know if it had... it's kind of tough to say.
It didn't have the star power?
No, I know what you're thinking, because it's not like when you think Russian Imperial Stout, it's not that. It's not like that big sort of...
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
I'll talk about it.
Yeah, you wait until it's your turn, damn it.
Hey, Chris, I'm already just gonna leave
it
at that.
I'm not gonna go deep into it. I mean, I did like some of the flavors that presented themselves as I was sipping. I don't know. I'm giving it 3.5. I don't know how well I could justify that 3.5. The only thing I can say is, as far as the Russian Imperial Stouts go, it's kind of a stacked category. And I just don't know how well this would measure up with others. For my tasting flight, the Coney Island Mermaid Pilsner. Big surprise, but not a surprise. Because I've talked about the Coney Island beers. Any of them, their regular lineup, the Pilsner, Lager, they call their beers, they just don't have that textbook flavor of what you would expect in those styles. And this Pilsner, I liked it. I think it had a nice kind of lemony character to it. It had some really biscuity malts. I think it'd be a really good summer beer with having a good body without being too heavy. I'm going to say, like most things you want to look at in the summertime, it has a good body without being too heavy.
That's good.
And
looks good in a bikini.
Yeah. This is a good summer offering. When you see Pilsner, and I know some of you craft beer guys, your beer geeks are like, Pilsner, kind of, put up the fingers kind of like in the crosses, like, oh no, keep it away from me. Try this one. You'll be surprised. It's a good, refreshing summer beverage for sure. I'm going to give it a 4 because I think it's, as far as Pilsners go, it's up there. Definitely up there. So I'm giving that a 4. Cool. So there you go.
For my pint ratings on the Blakehorn Unidragon, this has some really big, nice flavors. It's got this interesting kind of burnt licorice thing going on. It's not a whole lot of, like, there's not a whole lot of body to it. Maybe that's what makes it so more drinkable than normal Russian Imperial
Stouts. It's
got a lot
of flavor, but not a lot of body, right? I mean, was that safe to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've known a few girls like that.
Yeah.
So I think I'm right there with Mike. I'm going to go 3.5 because, yeah, I mean, Russian Imperial Stouts, I'm a big fan of those, and there are plenty more that are, far superior to this one, but it's still, like I said, it still has some really good flavors, and the fact that it's drinkable, I mean, it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah. The fact that, like I said, I really think that roastiness was overpowering the booziness that should have been there. I think it wasn't so roasty that the alcohol would come through on that beer, which I think was very clever of them to kind of do that.
So, but I will say that this beer can age, and I think that maybe in a while that this would come out to be very nice. I think that it would, the sweetness would come out a little bit.
You wouldn't
get any
year.
More booziness out of it, but it might end up, a little bit more creamy and that kind of thing. But
yeah, I
think that this actually
aging.
would be good in a year from now. But that's how I kind of think with all Russian Imperial Stouts. I'm like, oh yeah, dude,
I drank
this is good
early.
Now. But dude, just think of it in a year; it'll be even better. So that's kind of a throwaway. But anyway, for the Six Rivers Sasquatch Ale.
I see you shaking your head.
It's as it warmed up. I mean, it got really funky. So I don't even know.
Much like the Sasquatch in the heat.
There's some. It seems to be a clash of hops in this. That doesn't. it's really weird because you get the sweet fruitiness and then you get the bitter kind of pininess, and it doesn't seem to balance well. The malts in it seem to be pretty good, but it just kind of has, on the nose it gets kind of weird, and on the tongue it gets, it just seems kind of like a mess a little bit. Well. So I'm gonna go 2 pints.
I've noticed that a lot when they try to sort of mix the different hops that have different characters. So if they try to keep it balanced, right? If they don't let one, it's one thing to use, like with my beer, it took the Simcoe and the Cascade, but they definitely let the Cascade take front and center and use the Simcoe more as a backbone. But if you tried to balance those two, it would not be complementary. It would not work well together.
And the thing, I mean, it's almost like when I come across beers like this, it almost seems like it's a what do you call it? Like an amateur kind of move where they go, hey, we should do an Imperial IPA, you know, so let's just freaking make it super hoppy. And, you know, we obviously have to bump up the malts to balance out, you know, or to bump up the ABV if we want to go Imperial, you know, or maybe they weren't even trying for an Imperial. Maybe that's why it just says Sasquatch Ale and it just ends up, well, it's 9%. So we're just going to call it, you know, beer advocate people go, well, if it's 9%, it's got to be an Imperial IPA with all those hops in there, you know. So maybe that's what happens, but it seems like it's sometimes when I come across these ones, I go, you know, it's a little bit unbalanced, and maybe you didn't think this went this all the way through as far as the clash of flavors with the hops and the clash of aromas with the hops. So, I don't know. I mean, Six Rivers, man, they've been around for a long time, but maybe just now they're starting to, you know, push the envelope a little bit. But they, I think from what I've read of their, you know, who they've got brewing for them, I think they've got people that have been brewing for a long time. Like, I think one of the guys that brews for them used to brew for Anchor or something like that. So I think they've got experienced people, but it just seems like this is like the third or fourth Six Rivers beer I've had on the show, and it's all been kind of subpar a little bit.
I really remember you doing Six Rivers on the show.
Yeah, I've done a few of them. So, and I couldn't pass up on the Sasquatch. And I've been to Six Rivers, you know. Gina and I went there a long time ago. And
been there.
Yeah. So it's just cool because I go, oh, that's sweet, dude. Six Rivers. It was a tiny ass little brew pub on the side of the road in Northern California. And now they're bottling and I can get them here in Vegas. So that is cool. But, you know, come on, guys. You got to step it up a little bit. So anyway, 2 pints.
Wow.
You know. Yeah. Anyway. So let's do some shout-outs.
To Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I want to give him a shout-out.
Got to give a shout-out to Freddie Mercury.
I've got
to
give him a shout-out.
That was a pre-show discussion we were having. shout-out to our homie Mark Ratlow for showing up this evening. Yes.
Yeah, thanks,
out.
Ratlow.
It's always good to have you know, another voice on the show.
And, yeah, you know, it seems like whenever people are on the show, they tend to listen a little bit more, but I can't speak much for Chris or for Brittany.
Also want to give a shout out to Michelle S., also Bad Jimmy's Brewery, and Charlotte Cook, and also Cindy, a total beer snob from the OC.
All right. We got some chicks on the show.
You know what, though?
Yeah. What's up, baby? How you doing?
There is nothing worse than a Bad Jimmy.
All right, everybody. Reminder to all of our listeners.
This is your show.
We're just drinking in it.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm curious about something before we go.
What?
Has that this is your show, we're just drinking in it, ever actually worked out like how it's supposed to?
What do you mean?
Not really. We don't really listen to our listeners.
Anyway.
Well, it's supposed to encourage people to send us beer, I think. Right, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
Or maybe even encourage people like Mark to, you know, listen to, you know, our show on his Apple TV and then decide to, hey, I want to come on it, be on it one night.
The point is what people don't realize, probably still, I mean, listeners, if they write in, if they give us backwash and they tell us, hey, try some of this on the show, or hey, I'm going to send you guys this, or hey, why don't you guys talk about this particular topic? We do it.
Or
plain and simple.
Or hey, you guys suck. We're still going to talk about it.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, the only
backwash we're not going to listen to is you guys should never podcast again, because we're going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Or that,
regardless if we suck. Or
that Nigerian guy that keeps telling us about how he has like $50 million that is in a trust for us.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
It's on its way. I'm just waiting. Any day now, it's going to show up in my bank account.
For the check to clear. Any day now. Yep.
It's going to show up in my bank account.
He promised.
Meanwhile, I've lost about $6,000. Yeah. It just disappeared. I don't know where it
went. That's all the beer money on it.
It's amazing how much banking fees cost that it cost me $6,000 just to have something wired into my account.
Crazy.
All right. Are we paused yet?
No.
No.
Check out the website, beercoasterspodcast.com. See you next week.
Yeah. Big beers.
We're doing some big beers
big
next week.
Yeah. I'll always go for the lubrication before I go for the tramp stamp. I'm not about getting my junk all ripped up.
Exactly. Fox News is just like how I like my beer. Fair and balanced.
Everyone loves 5-Minute Head.
They smelled nerdy. I was like, no, that's this podcast.
Orale, we gotta look white, eh?
That's when you know you're drunk, when you realize that you have lips.
Ain't no party like a cutro party.